Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. While I was praying over this service yesterday, and as I was going through the week, I had different ideas and different thoughts about what to bring to you today, as I always do as I go through. I mean, I start praying over next Sunday's message right after this Sunday's message. And as I was praying through the week and then got closer and closer, Saturday is a special time for me because it's a very quiet time that I have before the Lord, and I really get clarity to be able to hear from Him on exactly and precisely what He wants to do, the things that He wants to do in these services and the things that He wants to say. And I could sense it on me on Friday, and then as I got into prayer Saturday, I heard a very distinct word about this for you today. And as I was praying yesterday morning, first thing, yesterday morning, I sensed something on the inside of me that so many people have been dealing with. And one of the things that I call it is the piling up of overwhelming issues. The piling up of overwhelming issues. And that's what the devil uses in order to discourage us, to keep us down. That's what he uses. He uses the pile-up technique. Getting one thing on top of another, one issue on top of another, to the place where if you're not on top of this, then it could really start getting to you and thinking this is, the whole thing is just overwhelming. I can't handle it. I can't deal with it. And I was thinking about the issues that people face, and then especially when they're piled one on top of the other, whether it's family, finances, employment, health, questions about the future, pressing decisions, decisions that have to be made, all happening at the same time. All of these things taking place at the same time. And I've noticed too, Pastor Terry and I have been talking about this, just in general, there just seems to be an extra attack and a hit against the body of Christ where finances, health, decisions, family, all of that is piling up at the same time. And oftentimes what happens to people when that pileup starts happening, they reach a certain point and it really is a breaking point. I can't handle this. I can't do this. I can't deal with this anymore. And in some respects, that's a good thing because the mind was not designed to handle it. The mind was not designed to carry it. And where so many of us are concerned, we get to a point in our lives where we tell the Lord, I got this now. I got this. I can handle this. I can take care of this. And you never get to that point in life where you can handle it. That's why we have Him. That's why we have a covenant. He's stronger. He's bigger. He's got the wisdom that we need. So no matter what is happening and no matter what is going on, we always have the direction that we need and we always have the answers that are available to us. And I really like what David said here. He said, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Take me to that place where there's a better vantage, a better view, where I can see what needs to happen. He said, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And then he said, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide. I will live. I will dwell in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of your wings. So say this after me. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. So in praying about this and just beginning to think about it, I just said, Lord, just lead me through this. Take me on a journey today of what this all means to us here. And so I wrote this down. What did David do in the face of overwhelming odds. So he's the one here who's saying, when my heart is overwhelmed. So evidently, David, in whatever place that he was serving, whether it was as king or shepherd or whatever it was, we see here that he reached places in time in his life where he was overwhelmed, where things were overwhelming to him. As a king, decisions that had to be made, victories that had to be won, situations where it just seemed totally impossible, dealing with Saul, losing Jonathan, times when it just seems overwhelming in our lives. So the Lord said, look up something that David faced with when he had the opportunity to be overwhelmed. So he took me over to 1 Samuel chapter 30. Turn over there. 1 Samuel chapter 30. And we'll see here the situation that he was dealing with and what was going on at the time and how he dealt with it. What do we do? How do we handle the overwhelming of life? Well, in 1 Samuel chapter 30, it says, starting in verse 1, "And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and all the people that were with him lifted up their voice and they wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed." David was greatly distressed. I stopped there as I was reading it, just envisioning this and envisioning what was going on and what was happening. And those two words, greatly distressed, I just stopped there for a while and thought about that. I mean, he wasn't just distressed. He was greatly distressed. There was something going on the inside of him, bringing him to a place of giving up, of quitting. And that's what this does. That's what, when he's facing this overwhelming situation and it brings a person to a place of just wanting to give up, wanting to quit. I can't take this anymore. He was greatly distressed. "For the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters." Now, before I read that next line, let's just talk about what's going on here. Let's just talk about what's happening. David and his men had left the camp, left the women, the children, left them there, and left to go fight the Philistines. Well, while they were gone, Amalekites had come, Ziklag was burned, their families were gone, and then David got into a place of, it was serious. When you've got, I would be greatly distressed if I were standing here right now and you were all talking about stoning me. And you're all sitting there with a congregation with stones in your hands and I'm standing here. You know, no matter what happened or no matter what was done, I think I might be greatly distressed at that moment. And that was what was happening to him. The pressure was so intense. And that pressure, that kind of pressure can be intense on us facing the situations that we face. That pile up technique where there's a family health issue and a family situation. There's finances on top of that. And then on top of that, there's decisions that have to be made and there are deadlines. There's a deadline that we've got to make with this decision. Then you've got on top of that, you've got what's going on at home. And then you have what's going on at the office and what's going on at your work or whatever's happening with that. So all of that is piling on top of each other, and it creates this place of pressure, a pressurized situation. If you're not looking to Him, it is totally, totally ridiculous, outlandish, for all of that to be going on, like a storm of pressure that's taking place in your life. And so he was distressed. These people were mad. They were angry at him. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to wipe him out. So I would say that would be a pretty good picture of being overwhelmed. I don't know. Maybe he wrote Psalm 61 that day. Maybe he was out there in the field with all of that going on, and he was saying, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I don't know. Get me to a high place where they can't get me with the stones. But when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And that's what every one of us need to be doing. When we reach that point and we come to that place in our lives where the pressure is so mounting, when your heart is overwhelmed, Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. What we do is we try to figure it out. I've done this, you've done this, we have all done it. Try to figure it out without the help of the Spirit of God. You try to work it through your mind. You try to second guess what's going to happen or what's going to take place. And on top of that, there's the fear of the future. What is the future going to turn out? How's this thing going to turn out? It looks impossible right now. And so you sit down and you try to figure it out and you try to make a way for everything to work. And that's the point in time where you have to make that decision. When my heart is overwhelmed, you throw down the pencil, you throw down the paper, you pick up the Word of God and let Him take you to the rock that is higher than you. That's where we all have to go. When the situation is so overwhelming, one of the ways you can tell you're in that place is you're not sleeping at night. You're not getting that sweet sleep that's promised in the Word of God. You're laying there awake thinking. And that's when the devil operates the most, in that midnight hour. In that hour when it's so quiet and it's so dark and you're entertaining thoughts of how this thing is going to play out and how this thing is going to work and how are we going to get all of this back together again or how are we going to meet the finances of this. And when you go to the rock that is higher than you, what you are doing is, and this is what I call, in all of these situations, we've got to keep it in the realm of the Spirit. I'll read something to you about that in just a moment. But we've got to get to a much higher vantage point. So the question is, how did David do that? How did he do that? Well, you're reading here in verse 6, and David was greatly distressed, overwhelmed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. That is one of my favorite scriptures. It's one of my top 1,000 scriptures. David encouraged himself in the Lord. Wow. In the middle of facing certain death by stoning, David started to encourage himself. The word for that word encouraged in the Hebrew is the word strengthen. Strengthen. When you encourage somebody else, what are you doing? You're endeavoring to strengthen them. Yes. And we need to be encouragers. We need to be encouraging one another. We don't know what one another is going through. We don't know the things that are happening in our lives. So we need to be in that place where we are encouraging or we are strengthening each other in the Lord. Well, David didn't have anybody. There's nobody. Nobody that day was coming up to him and saying, David, you're going to make it. Don't pay attention to them. Not one. Not one. Not one person. Not one person was encouraging him that day. They were all mad at him. They were all upset at him. They were all ready to get rid of him. So there was no one. So what do you do? What do you do when you are by yourself? And you don't have that support that is so necessary. Well, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I've had to do that so many times in the past, to just encourage myself. Things that we face, things that are going on. And Terry and I, we're good encouragers with each other. But then there's also a place. There's also a place where you've got to learn how to encourage yourself. You've got to learn how to tell yourself who you are in Christ Jesus. I am a new creation, created in Him. I am His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Created for good works. I was created for good works. So you have to begin to encourage yourself. So I was thinking about David, and the Lord ministered to me as I read that scripture. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. So I asked the question. I said, how did David encourage himself? So this is what he did. He had me go to several scriptures that talked about situations that David was facing, where he obviously had to encourage himself. He was alone in the midst of it. So I want you to turn. We're going to look at three scriptures. Turn first of all to Psalm 42 and hold your place, hold your marker in 1 Samuel 30, because we're going to come back around there. But look at with me Psalm 42. I get over there too with you. Psalm 42. Say, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. So how did David encourage himself? Psalm 42 and verse 5, I'll read it from the King James, and then I'm going to read it from the Passion. He said in verse 5, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. I saw something in there that I took notice of, and we'll see it in the next couple of scriptures, that the key to David's encouragement, and I believe it's wrapped up in this word praise. I believe it's wrapped up in the word praise. Why are you cast down? He's talking to his soul. Why are you cast down? Why are you disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. Now listen to what the Passion Translation says. So then, my soul, why would you be depressed? Why be depressed? Why would you sink into despair? There are some people, as I was praying over you and over this message, that were sinking into a place of despair over the multitude of things that you're facing and that are going on. It reached that pileup point. It reached that point in your life where you were sinking deep into that place of despair. And then it says, just keep hoping and waiting on God your Savior, for no matter what, I will still sing with praise, for living before His face is my saving grace. That really spoke to me. For no matter what, say no matter what. No matter what, no matter what's going on, no matter what's happening, I will still sing with praise. I will still sing with praise, for living before His face is my saving grace. So David had to do a shifting. There was a shifting that took place. When my heart is overwhelmed, he had to run to the rock that is higher than him. So when your heart is overwhelmed and you feel yourself sinking and going down, I mean, the first thing is run to the Father, run to the face of God. And how do we get into that place of the face and the presence of God? But we do it through, come on, we do it through,
praise.
We do it through
praise.
Praise. I will still, no matter what, I will still pray. Say, no matter what,
no matter what,
I will still praise Him. And I believe that's what David did. I really believe that's what David did. Let's look at another one. Psalm 56, you're in the neighborhood. Psalm 56, I'll read verses 1 through 4. I'll read this to you from the New King James Version. Psalm 156, 1 through 4. Be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up. Okay, he's dealing with something here. Something is going on. Something's happening in his life. He's feeling at this point like he's being swallowed up. I don't know if you've ever had that feeling before, but to be that feeling of being swallowed up by everything that's going on. For man would swallow me up, fighting all day he oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day, for there are many who fight against me, O Most High. But then he says this, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. In God I put my trust, I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? So there's a lot going on in that one. There's a lot being said in that one. He's at a place where men would swallow me up. They're fighting all day. They're oppressing me. My enemies are hounding me. There are many who are fighting against me. But whenever I am afraid, whenever I'm afraid, I'll trust in Him. I'll trust in Him. I'll trust Him. In God, I will praise His word. I'll praise His word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. And then he says that he says, I will not fear. So the connection between fear and being overwhelmed and in despair, they work hand in hand with each other, because that is where the devil wants to position us. He wants us to be afraid. It's not going to work out. It's not going to happen. That thing is not going to be paid. I'm not going to get healed. Whatever the litany list is of things, of the pile-up technique, he wants you to fear. He wants you to be afraid, because he can drain, literally drain the life from you in the midst of that fear. And David made his stand. I will not fear. I will not fear. You and I must have a zero tolerance policy where fear is concerned. Say, I refuse to fear.
I refuse to fear.
And you have to say it out loud. You have to declare it. That's part of encouraging yourself in the Lord. That's part of what it takes. Hold your place right there and turn very quickly with me. Just look at Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41. And the word fear not is used over and over and over and over and over in Scripture. If the devil can get you in a place of fear, fear of the future, fear of failure, fear of what he would like you to see happen and to have that image on the inside of you, then he's got you. But that's why God has said it over and over and over and over and over again. Fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not. And in Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. You really could say there, don't be overwhelmed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. And then he goes down here in verse 15. He says, behold, I'll make thee a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth. You shall thresh the mountains and beat them small, and shall make the hills as chaff. When it says teeth here, off to the side, the Hebrew is mouths. Mouths. So that's why it is so important that we use the words of our mouth. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. And your words can be used for you, and your words can be used against you. Your words turn around situations in your life. And your words will turn you around and get you back where you need to be. Your words will either discourage you or they will encourage you. They will weaken you or they will strengthen you. They will bring faith into your life or fear. What's your choice? It's a powerful thing. Powerful thing. Well, David, he said, when I'm afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I put my trust. I will not fear. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? What can flesh do to me? What can they do to me? Nothing. Unless I allow it. But what can they do? Nothing. I'm trusting him. I'm praising him. I'm glorifying him. These are all the things that David had to do to encourage himself in front of people who wanted to kill him, end his life, destroy him. And maybe there aren't people standing in front of you with stones. But then maybe there are people who are saying things about you, saying negative things about you. And really, there's nothing that you can do about that. The Lord is your defender. He is your defender. There's a scripture I'm going to read in Psalm 119. Actually, turn over to Psalm 119. But if you go through Psalm 119, there are a number of scriptures in there that talk about God being David's defender. They are saying this, they are doing this, but God, you are my Savior. God, I trust in you. I mean, he'd set up the situation and then he'd answer it. And there was one situation in here, Psalm 119 and verse 61. Psalm 119, verses 61 and 62. See, what are we talking about? We're talking about how did David encourage himself? And the one thing that I'm wanting you to focus on among different ways to encourage yourself, the one thing I'm looking at is praising him. David praised God. I'm picturing what it looked like for all of his army to be ready to stone him. And he's standing there looking at them. And he starts, it may have been a little sheepish at first. Praise God. But I believe it grew very quickly. He looked at them. David was overwhelmed. He went to the rock that is higher than he. And right in the middle of it, he began to encourage himself. Praise God! Praise God. Praise you, Lord. I mean, they're standing there ready to throw the first shot and not realizing or understanding that praise will stop and still the enemy. These mighty men of David there, they were supposed to be working for him, serving him, but for a moment they lost sight of their service to David, and they became the enemy. So David starts praising God, and praise shuts down the enemy. That's what it tells us in Psalm 8. It shuts down, it'll shut down the enemy. And I can see David standing out there with his hands lifted up. He put down his sword, he put down all of his natural carnal weapons. Because with an onslaught and a pile-up technique like that, you can't deal with that with a natural weapon. You've got to use spiritual weapons. And praise is a spiritual weapon. It is a spiritual weapon. It is a spiritual part of the covenant that God has given us that will encourage us and build us up. You just can't stay in a place of depression very long when you're going, I praise you, God, I just praise you. I praise you, Lord. Oh, I praise you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And the best time to do that is right in the middle of the situation. Best time to do that is what we call the midnight hour. The midnight hour. Psalm 119, verses 61. The bands of the wicked, or the companies of the wicked, have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight, say at midnight.
At midnight.
At midnight, I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I don't know if when they got to Ziklag, it was midnight. I don't know what time it was. Maybe it was. And at the midnight hour, David got in front of all those people and just started to praise God. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. The Passion Translation says this, even when temptations encircle me with evil, I won't forget for a moment to follow your commands. In the middle of the night, I awake to give thanks to you because of all your revelation light, so right and so true. This is a good scripture for the, this is a good middle of the night scripture. Even when temptations encircle me with evil, I will not forget for a moment to follow your commands. In the middle of the night, at the midnight hour. What is the midnight hour? The midnight hour is the most distressful time. It is the darkest time. It is the what seems to be the worst time. And at the worst time is when you have to jump right in the middle of it and do the same thing that David did, encouraging himself in the Lord and begin to praise the Father. Because when you praise God, there's a lifting up that takes place on the inside. There's a supernatural uplifting that takes place on the inside of your heart, and it gets you refocused and recalibrated to Him and to see His victory. Woo! Like Pastor Kent says. I was looking at this scripture, thinking about it. And you can write this scripture down, but Acts 16:25, that's one at midnight. Say at midnight.
At midnight.
Paul and Silas sang praises to God. And after they did that in prison, there was an earthquake and all the doors opened and all the bands were loosed.
Yes.
Woo! That's what happens. That's what happens. Being overwhelmed is like being in a prison. Being in a prison, locked down, locked in, constrained. And that's not where the Father wants us to be. He wants us to be free. He wants us to be able to be free in Him and not be overwhelmed, not be down, not be beat up. No, He doesn't want us to be in that place. So at the midnight hour, in the middle of the night, I will awake and give thanks to you because of your revelation light. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Turn quickly over to Habakkuk. I want to show you something else. Just go to the middle of your Bible and start going to the left. Malachi, Haggai, Zephaniah, Habakkuk. You have to do it right in the middle. David didn't crumble in the midst of this seeming failure. But what he did was he and God turned it around.
Amen.
Two of them turned it around. David began to encourage himself. He took the step of faith and began to encourage himself in the Lord. Right in the middle. He jumped in the middle of that. I don't know exactly what he was thinking. I do know I do know it said he was greatly distressed. So something happened. Something had to have happened between the time he was greatly distressed and he began to encourage himself in the Lord. I don't know. He may have looked. He may have monitored himself, checked himself, looked on the inside. Hey, I'm overwhelmed. Hey, I'm greatly distressed. I know what to do. I know what to do. I need to encourage myself in the Lord my God. I need to begin to praise Him because I know from one of the Psalms that I wrote, referring back to that Psalm, where is that? Psalm 8. That's what praise does. I need to begin to praise God. I need to begin to praise Him. And praising Him is the language of faith. Praising God really is the language of faith. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter because that praise is one of the things that will turn it around and change the shift because it's changing you. You're changing. Maybe that situation around you, it's not changing at first, but I'm telling you, it's starting. It's beginning. Somebody has to take the first step. And David took that first step. Even when it looked so bad. Habakkuk, are you there? Chapter 3, verse 17. This is one of my favorite scriptures of the other 1,000 scriptures or more. Verse 17, although, what a great word, although. That word means even though, in spite of. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither the fruit be in the vines. The labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. That, my wonderful friends and family, is an overwhelming situation. That's the pileup right there. That is classic pileup right there. Fig tree not blossoming, check. Fruit not on the vines, check. Labor of the olive shall fail, check. The field shall yield no meat, check. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, check. Are there any herds in the stalls? No. Check, 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 check. Qualifies for an overwhelming, greatly distressing situation. Yet! 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 I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet. He'll make me walk upon my high places. To the chief singer on my stringed instruments. Wow. Wow. Go back to 1 Samuel chapter 30. We'll begin to wrap this up. So what happens? David's in the middle of this thing. He's facing now his enemy. And I really do believe right in the middle of it, right in the midst, he just begins to praise God. Oh my God, how magnificent you are. How glorious you are. How wonderful you are. How great you are, oh God. How great you are, oh Lord. To me. And all those guys are standing there. They're just waiting. They're waiting. He's praising. He's praising. He's praising. All of a sudden, one by one, stones go dropping to the ground. They're standing there. And then now they're hanging their heads. Oh, bad, bad soldier, bad, bad soldier, bad. And David's just praising God. And then one of them out there, he starts to praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There's one over there. Then another one over there. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Then another one over there. Ki tov, ki leolam hasto. Then another one, and another one. Then they all begin to praise God together. Glory to God! Ho! Oh! Oh! Ho! Oh! So David, woo! David, he says in verse 7, and this is what it does, praise brings you into the door of wisdom. brings you into the door. It gives you, when you start praising Him and glorifying Him, all of a sudden, it's not you alone anymore. It's not you by yourself anymore. Because I'm telling you, no matter how much is going on in your life, our God and His Word has every answer that you need. Every answer. Every answer. So David, he's praising God. And I really do believe all of these other guys are praising God. And all of a sudden, David says to Abiathar, he says, I pray thee, bring me the ephod. Bring me the ephod. And in verse 8, David inquired at the Lord. See, you get now into a place. You ask the Lord about it. What about this? How do you want to handle this? How do you want to deal with this? And David, he must have got his unction back. He must have been, oh, the guys are standing, oh, that's the David I know. Whoa, that's the David. That's the David we know. He's standing there. He says, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? Now, that's not always the direction of the Lord. You think about Jehoshaphat, where the Lord told them, the battle is the Lord's. Send out the singers. Send out the singers. Back off the soldiers. Send out the singers. Here, he's like, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered, pursue. Pursue. For you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. Look at verse 17. Look at verse 17. Woo! I need my musicians up here now because we're going to praise God here in a moment. Oh! Oh! As a matter of fact, stand up, stand up, stand up. Verse 17. And David smote them from twilight even until the evening of the next day. Ho! Ho! I believe there are issues in your life that you're beginning to smote. Ho! Wow! To the next day, and there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men who rode. I don't know why this is so funny. Fled. I don't know. Maybe they were the youth group. I don't know. Look, David, they're fleeing on camels. Let them go. Anyway, verse 18, David recovered all. That the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives, and there was nothing lacking to them. Oh, you need to begin to play. You guys need to begin to play. You need to come out here. Come out here, because we just need to do some praising together. Oh, there was nothing lacking. Neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything they had taken to them. David recovered all. Praise God. Praise God. So right in the middle of what's going on, I just think we need to praise God. Come on. Oh, praise you. Praise God. And I'll be David. You ready? Hallelujah!